Welcome to Just Traveling, brought to you by Owl Radio, a community of the Low Vision Resource Center. I'm Jeff Ebner, and during the next half hour, we'll be traveling to Ireland, Enchantment of the World by Eileen Bashfield. 100,000 welcomes. Ireland is a land of deep green fields, dramatic cliffs, and misty gray days. It is a place where eerie stone monuments built by ancient people still stand, and where fantastic legends were told by the Celtic settlers 2,500 years ago. Today, Ireland is home to friendly people, live music, vibrant cities, and thriving arts. Ireland is both a nation and the island where the nation is located. The island of Ireland lies just to the west of the islands of Great Britain, off the northwestern coast of Europe. The Republic of Ireland covers about 5/6 of the islands of Ireland. The remainder of the island is a region called Northern Ireland, which along with England, Scotland, and Wales makes up the United Kingdom. Ireland was divided in 1922 when it won its independence from Great Britain. Some Irish people hope that someday the Republic and Northern Ireland will again be united. In the meantime, people can press freely between the countries. Some people cross the border every day to go to work. Ireland is also a land of two languages. English is the most common language used, but Irish is also spoken. Irish is a Gaelic language related to Scottish and Manx. It was the most common language spoken in Ireland until the 9th century. Today, about 2% of the Irish people speak it in everyday lives, and about 40% of the people can speak it. Irish is official language of the country, so street signs and government titles and other official names are usually in Irish. The police force, for instance, is called the Gardaí, meaning guardians. The ancient Romans called Ireland Hiberna, which may have derived from words meaning abundant land, but the Irish themselves take the names from the Celtic goddess named Uri. The Irish word for Ireland, Ireland has at times suffered from devastated famine and poverty. This has caused millions of Irish people to leave their home and try to make their lives for themselves in other countries. Worldwide, at least 70 million people claim Irish ancestry. About half of those people live in the United States. About 4 million people a year visit Ireland, which is almost as many people as live there. The Irish greet the visitors warmly. They say hundreds of thousand welcomes. Let's explore Ireland. The Emerald Islands. 10,000 years ago, during the last ice age, the islands of Ireland and Great Britain were attached to the European mainland. Vast sheets of ice called glaciers covered the entire region. As the glaciers melted, the sea rose, flooding low-lying areas and creating these islands. Shaped by ice, the movement of the glaciers during the last ice age shaped many of the landforms found in Ireland today. The region called the Drumlin Belt is near the border of the Northern Ireland. It features drumlins, low, teardrop-shaped hills made of rocky rubble. The pointed end of the teardrop lies to the north and the direction the ice was retreating as it melted. Because the drumlins are so rocky, this part of Ireland is not good for agriculture. Eskers are formations that consist of ridges of sands and gravel. They are scattered across most of Ireland and the islands, but are most visible in the flat center of the country. Along the coast, most of the west are features called quarries. This name comes from the Irish word meaning kettle. Quarries are half-circle hollows with steep sides. Each quarry was dug out by the glaciers moving through a valley. The retreating ice scraped away almost all of the soil in the northern counties of Donegal and Tyrone. The soil that area is very thin and a little use to agriculture. Central and Eastern Ireland. The island of Ireland is shaped nothing like a bowl. In the center, it is flat plain, which almost completely surrounded by mountains. The central plains form a wide belt across the middle of the country. In the east, between the border of Northern Ireland and the Wicklow Mountains south of Dublin, these flat areas extend all the ways up to Irish Seas, which separates Ireland from Great Britain. The Wicklow Mountains are the main mountain range in the east. The Gualia, the highest peak in the Wicklows, reaches 3,035 feet. The Wicklow Mountains are home to the Powers Court Waterfall, the highest waterfall in Ireland. As this falls, the River Dargle rushes over the drop of 398 feet. Major mountain ranges south of the central plain include the Knockmeadow and the Cumrae Mountains. Western Ireland. The west of Ireland is wilder and more mountainous than the east. In the southwest, glaciers carved out valleys between rows of paralleled mountains. These mountain ranges extend onto rugged peninsulas that are just out into the Atlantic, including the Dingle, the Evrae, the Beria Peninsula. These valleys between them are now deep bays, such as the Dingle and the Bantry, which separate the peninsulas. The peninsulas feature hiking trails that the Irish and visitors alike often follow to explore the countryside. But watch out! What the Irish call hill walking can be an adventure scrambling up steep and slippery mountain trails. A road called the Ring of Kerry circles and the Ivro Peninsula, showing off country's Kerr's beautiful scenery. Carrantoo Hill, Ireland's highest peak at 3,415 feet above sea level, rises in the magically Reeks mountain range on the southern eastern part of Iveria Peninsula. The 122-mile-long Barrier Way trail rings the Barrier Peninsula and the southwestern corner of Ireland, offering peaceful landscapes and pleasant villages. North of these peninsulas, the mouth of the River Shannon forms a huge estuary where ocean water mixes with fresh water. The Shannon is the longest river in Ireland. Farther north is a country Clare, which offers some of the Ireland's most striking scenery. It can seem like you've reached the edge of the world when you're standing on the top of the cliffs of Moher. These cliffs stretch along 5 miles of the coastline and dropping a dazzling 702 feet into the Atlantic Ocean. The dramatic cliffs of Moher are one of the Ireland's top tourist attractions. But Ireland's coastlines are all features of many other magnificent cliffs. The Slieve League cliffs in Donegal and northwestern Ireland are much higher than Moher. They drop a 1,972 feet into the sea. At the foot of many Irish mountains are lakes. The largest lake in the Republic of Ireland is Lough Corrib in the country Galway, which covers 69 square miles. The Galway River connects the lake to the ocean. Ireland's largest island is Achill, which lies off the coast country of Mayo on the west. A bridge is connected to the mainland Ireland since 1887. Much of Ireland is covered by damp land called bog. Several villages occupy the drier places on the island. South of the Achill is the Clare Island. There lie the ruins of a coastal once owned by Grace Malley. who was named as the Pirate Queen. She was the chieftain of the O'Malley clan. Having learned the trade of shipping from her father, she and her followers got great delights out of harassing English ships. Farther south, off the coast of Galway, lie the Aran Islands. The Aran Islands are barren, and the water or weather can be harsh, so the people who live there must be hardy. Many mainlanders built second homes on the Aran during the early 2000s, but they were abandoned the homes when the economy suffered a severe downturn. Scattered across the islands are small stone beehive shapes huts called chichilins, but out of a piled flat rocks. Christian hermits who wanted to live alone so they could focus on prayer may have used these huts long ago. Skellig Michael is one of the pair of rocky islands that just above the waves off the coast of the Ivory Peninsula. Skellig Michael's bears the remains of a monastery built into about the 7th century. The monks who lived there were also isolated from other people, so they could devote their thoughts and energy to religion. Today, people can visit the Skellig Michael only in good weather. Nearby, Little Skellig is inhabited only by birds. Climate. Ireland is often called the Emerald Islands because its landscape is so green. It is green in part because of its significant amount of rain throughout the year. Most winds blow in from the Atlantic Ocean, making the western part of the country particularly damp. The western-facing mountain slopes in the west get four times as much rain as Dublin does. December and January are the wettest months. April is usually the driest. Ireland lies about the same latitude or distance from the North Pole as Newfoundland and Canada, but the climates of the two places are very different. Newfoundland has frigid temperatures and extensive snowfall, while the climate in Ireland is mild. This is mainly because of the North Atlantic Current, a continuation of the Gulf Stream. This current brings warm water near the U.S. state of Florida and northern across the Atlantic. The warm current keeps Ireland, as well as Great Britain and other parts of the Europe, warmer in winter than would normally be expected for their latitudes. The interior of Ireland has warmer summers and colder winters than the coastal areas. The highest temperatures ever recorded in Ireland was 92 degrees Fahrenheit at Kilkenny in the southeastern on June 26, 1887. The lowest record temperature was minus 2 degrees Fahrenheit in the country of Sligo in the west on January 16, 1881. During the winter, the temperatures in Ireland sometimes fall below freezing. Higher elevations often see light snow. Because the winter in Ireland can change so quickly, almost everyone dresses in layers. Sweaters are removed or added as needed. Natural Ireland. Ireland is a very green place, but it has a smaller variety of plant life than found elsewhere in Europe. When rising sea cuts Ireland off from the mainland, it became more difficult for the seeds of varied plants to be brought there. It also became more difficult for animals to migrate there. No snake species are native to Ireland. Legend has it that this is because of St. Patrick drove all the snakes off the island. The actual reason is that during the last ice age, the land was too cold for snakes and other reptiles to survive there. Then, when the glaciers melted and Ireland became an island, snakes had no easy way of migrating from the continental Europe. From forest to bogs. After the last ice age ended, dense forests grew rapidly in Ireland. These forests were filled with hardwood trees, such as oak. As people began farming in Ireland thousands of years ago, these trees were cut down. especially on hillsides. Frequent rain strikes the slopes, washed the nutrients out of the soil, and turned it slightly acidic. In place of forests, wet, soft land called bogs developed. The Irish have planted many trees in recent years, and today is about 10% of the country is now planted in west, because in which has become forests. The trees being planted are Sitka spruce rather than hardwoods that once grew on the island. Bogs now cover about 1/6 of the land in Ireland. They form in places where the water cannot drain away. Over time, the water loses its oxygen and most plants can no longer grow there. Only small, soft plants called mosses can survive in such water. The lack of oxygen is the water's also slows down the rotting of plants after they die, because rotting is a chemical process that requires oxygen. So in bogs, as each generation of plants dies, the dead plants accumulate, gradually forming a deeper and deeper layer. The plant matter slowly turns into a material called peat. Ireland has two kinds of bogs. Blanket bogs look almost like a flat stretch of grass. They are mostly in the west, where there is plenty of rain, and in the mountains. Raised bogs develop mostly on low-lying land that once had a lake or a marsh. Such bogs gradually develop a domed or raised shape. The center of Ireland is huge. Raised bogs called the Bog of Allen. At its center of the Croaghan Hill, an ancient volcano. Frequently wooded plants called the Heath or the Heathier grow in bogs, using the moss as footing, but they don't grow tall, so landscapes still look fairly barren. The heath may have a polish tinge from the tiny flowers on the heather plants. Some insects-eating plants, such as sundew and butterwort, live in bogs. They can't get nourishment from the bog, so they trap insects on sticky leaves and digest them as food. Mammals. Because Ireland was cut off from the rest of Europe, it has relatively few mammals. 55 types of mammals are considered native to Ireland, but only 26 of those are land species. Ireland's ocean waters, especially in the south and west, attract dolphins. The bottlenose dolphin frequently swim into the Shannon estuary. A dolphin called the Fungi has a entrance visitors in the Dingle Harbor for several decades. Killer whales, also known as orcas, can often be seen off the shore. Seals frequently come ashore, especially around Cork Harbor. They almost became extinct back in the 1950s and 60s, but laws were passed to protect them, and their numbers have increased. Most of the animals are Atlantic gray seals, or smaller common or harbor seals. Most of the nation's mammals are small land mammals. Many members of the Wessel family include otters and stoats live there. The mink was introduced. The gray squirrel was also introduced in about 1911. The red squirrel is native to Ireland, but is becoming rare. A species of hare related to the Arctic hares lives in Ireland. Arctic hares turn white in the winter, but Irish hares do not. In Ireland, hares are welcome food for birds of prey. Ireland is also home to the European rabbits and prickly little hedgehogs. Many foxes also live in Ireland. Red deer, also called stag deer, live throughout Ireland. They are Ireland's official animal. Ireland's English rulers introduced the following deer into Ireland 900 years ago. The Sitka deer was introduced by an owner of a large estate about 150 years ago. Some of the deer escape and formed herds in the wild. About 250 species of birds live in Ireland or visit frequently. Wrens, robins, and blackbirds are common. Many kinds of warblers, finches, and buntings are seen throughout the country. Ireland has a large population of seabirds, such as whooper swans, white funted and barcoe geese and terns. Puffins nest in the colonies along the coast. Little Selgill Island holds the world's second largest colony of the breeding northern gannets. Common birds of prey include peregrines, merlins, heries, the coughs, which are related to the crows, but many kinds of birds of prey that once lived in Ireland have been hunted out of existence. The last golden eagle in Ireland was seen in 1912. Irish wildlife experts introduced young golden eaglins into Glenveagh National Park in 2005. One pair has produced several chicks. They feed off the hares in the park. Red kites have also disappeared. Once in a while, one appears, probably blown in from Wales across the Irish Sea. They are being reintroduced throughout the country, especially in the Dublin area. More than 120 birds have been released. The public has been warned not to use rat poison because the kites eat rats and can often die from the poison. Fish and reptiles. Ireland, rivers, and lakes abound with fish, about 40 species in all. Common fish found in Ireland include bream, pike, and trout. Fish found in Ireland ocean waters include cod, mackerel, eels, and sharks. Sea turtles also swim in the waters off Ireland's west coast. These large reptiles occasionally come ashore. The only land reptiles native to Ireland is the viviparous lizard. Unlike most reptiles, the lizard gives birth to live young rather than laying eggs. It is often found in the Wicklow Mountains. Making a living. For most of the 20th century, Ireland was one of the poorest countries in Western Europe. With few jobs available in their home country, many Irish people choose to immigrate to other countries. Ireland turned its economics around in the late 20th century and became one of the most prosperous nations in Europe. But the Celtic tiger boom years did not last. As the world economy entered a downturn in 2008, many Irish people lost their jobs. 2013, the unemployed rate in Ireland was still 14.6%. Today, the sectors of the economy are important in Ireland. Many people work in agricultural, manufacturing, and services. Agriculture, almost 8% of the Irish people work in agriculture or fishing. Another 32% work in the processing foods. Most of what Ireland produces exported. About 64% of the land in the Ireland is used for agriculture. Ireland is still a nation of small farmers. The average farm is about 80 acres in size. Beef is the most important agricultural product in Ireland. Ireland is the largest producer of beef in Europe and the fourth largest in the world. Milk and pigs are also important products. Sheep range on hills throughout the country. Grains such as barley and wheat grow well in the east and southeastern of Ireland. Other major crops include sugar beets and potatoes. Mining. Starting as early 2000 BC, Ireland was a source of copper for Europe. It also provided gold and silver, and even had a gold rush at the start of the 19th century. Today, major minerals found in Ireland are zinc and lead, which usually occur together. Ireland is the largest producer of zinc in Europe and the second largest producer of lead. Barite and gypsum are also mined in Ireland. Barite has many uses, but the main one is in the oil drilling. Gypsum is used in the drywall for construction. Ireland's mines and quarries also provide crushed stone for roads and buildings. They supplied a huge amount of concrete to the United Kingdom for buildings constructed from the 2012 London Olympics. Manufacturing. Many different kinds of products are made in Ireland. Chemicals and electrical equipment are among the most valuable. Food and beverages are also important to the manufacturing sector. Guinness beer has been brewed in Dublin since 1759. In recent years, many small brewers called craft brewers have emerged in Ireland. The American company Johnson & Johnson has a plant in Limerick that is one of the biggest plants in the world for making contact lenses. Services. Services make up the largest part of the Irish economy. Services include healthcare, education, banking, and much more. Tourism is the one of the largest parts of the service sector. People come to Ireland from all over the world to explore the ruins of monasteries, listen to fantastic music, and gaze at stunning sanctuary. Thousands of Irish people work in the industries that enable visitors to enjoy the time in Ireland. They work in restaurants and hotels. Some drive taxis while others sell tickets. There are many other kinds of service jobs in Ireland as well. Many are in the information and technology industries. This new international headquarters of Lincoln is a huge professional network, and the European headquarters of Google, PayPal, and Facebook are all in Dublin. Dropbox and American cloud storm firm for sharing files is opening an operation center in Dublin to serve the 10,000 millions of Dropbox customers in Europe. Music. Music has a rich tradition in Ireland. And as the Irish people moved to other countries, that tradition was exported. Traditional Irish music played an important role in the development of American folk and country music. Traditional instruments, the Irish harp is a symbol of the Ireland, but is now played very often. Smaller than harps seen in symphony orchestras, Irish harps have existed since at least medieval times. Harps used to import figures and courts and the homes of the wealthy where they played music and told stories. Irish bagpipes are called Illún pipes. They are used, usually played along with the fiddles and the whistles. The Irish drum, called the Brohan, was originally used in the battle, but now is a performance instrument. It has been described as being the heartbeat of Irish music. In the 1960s, as Dublin's band called the Chieftains introduced these traditional instruments into a wider audience, the group has also been playing ever since. Music and dance. Irish folk music was made popular by bands such as Clannadh and the Clancy Brothers and the Dubliners. They raised interest in the Irish music all over the world. One member of the Clan family, named Enya, often uses folk melodies in her own writings. Some Irish singers of classical music have also gained worldwide attention. One of the first was an opera singer named John McCormick. In the early 20th century, he gained worldwide popularity singing Irish ballads in his rich voice. More recently, the BBC television put together a group called the Irish Tenors. The three tenors are currently Anthony Kearns, Ronald Tynion, and the Finbar Wright. Their operatic performances of traditional Irish songs have been hugely popular. Well, that's my time for today. I hope you've enjoyed traveling with me to Ireland. And again, on behalf of Our Radio, my name is Jeff Ebner. Until the next time, have a blessed day.